A little over 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church in Wittenberg, Germany, October 31st, 1517. Now, as Protestants look back on that as this momentous event, we call that the start of the Reformation. We think about the dramatic changes of the church that happened during that time. But if you actually were to step into that time and actually go back to the 16th century, it wouldn't have all appeared as if anything momentous was happening the day that Martin Luther nailed his theses to the door. In fact, the Pope at the time, Pope Leo X, he dismissed Luther as a drunken German who, when sober, will change his mind. Later, as the movement grew, he still called it a mere squabble among monks. So we can see that at the time, you have no idea this momentous thing that was happening. So part of what I believe is important for us to recognize is that we are in the middle of a massive transformation of Christianity. If you go back and look at the history of the church, you go back to the first 500 years, dramatic development happened with the emergence of the monastic movement and all of the changes where the church was profoundly changed. 500 years later, you have the split up between the Orthodox and Roman Catholic Church in 1054. 500 years later, you have the Reformation. We're now 500 years after that. It's like every 500 years, God has a yard sale and he cleans things out and changes things up. And we are in the middle of this dramatic change of global Christianity. And one of the things I want us to understand is if you were to go back, for example, and say, when William Carey, for example, went to India in 1793, did you know that 98% of the entire world's Protestants lived in the Western world in 1793? If you go forward to the dawn of the 20th century, 90% of Protestants still lived in the Western world. Well, today we're seeing this dramatic shift of where Christians are, so that today at least 67% of Christians live outside the Western world. In the early 80s, for the first time, the number of Christians that were non-white outnumbered those who were white Christians. If you go back 200 years ago, the typical Christian was a 47-year-old British male. Today, it's a 25-year-old Nigerian woman. The church is becoming, there's more females than males in the church today. The church is decidedly younger. It's certainly more ethnic. These are dramatic changes that we're seeing in the world today. So part of what I want to do in this course is to go back and see how this develops in various kinds of cross-cultural moments and how the church develops through transmission through time. Christianity is the only religion in the world that its primary source documents are in a language other than the founder. So you think about Hinduism, for example. Hinduism was started in the Indian Peninsula. It's still rooted there. And the majority of the early texts of Hinduism are in the Sanskrit language, and that is the language of that part of North India. If you go to Buddhism, the language is in Pali, the texts are in Pali. Islam, it's rooted in Arabia. It's still rooted in Arabia. The texts are in Arabic. Muhammad spoke in Arabic. But this is not true for the Christian faith. We see the Christian faith is constantly moving through cultural boundaries. Even in the New Testament, we see this transition that goes on. The language of Jesus is Aramaic, and yet the very text of the New Testament is in Koine Greek. So the church, unlike any other major religion, is accustomed to cultural transformations, meeting new cultures, transforming itself through new ways. So I want to give you a few snapshots of this to show you.